A friend of mine gave me a CD for my birthday. What the teaching was life-changing for me. And so I was telling Pastor Chuck about it. But it was talking about there are three kinds of peoples mentioned in the New Testament: the Hebrew, the Greek, and the barbarian. And those peoples represent three kinds of mindsets. The Greek mindset is that the intellect and knowledge is the answer to everything. And so they believe in education, education, education. And the barbarian mindset is to rule by terror. And we see this in the terrorists that we're fighting today. It's just to rule by fear and terror. And a lot of their tactics are only in speech only. They're only in threats. But recently, a group in Africa hung an innocent 9-year-old boy and branded him as a spy. And everyone knew he really wasn't a spy. But their strategy was to rule this village by terror. And the third type of mindset is the Hebrew mindset. And that is to rule by favor, by embracing the favor of God on your life. And the Jewish people believed in being very diligent in studying. But they didn't expect that to promote them. What they put their faith in the favor of God promoting them. And the favor of God is a mindset. And I never looked at the favor of God as a mindset. I always thought it was just a mantle that would fall on me, kind of unconditionally. You know, just if, and I didn't understand that it was something that we can approach by faith. And I understand that you approach healing by faith. You approach prosperity by faith. But I didn't understand that you approach God's favor by faith, that it's not something that just maybe one day his favor will follow me if I please him and all my works. I think I was approaching it kind of with a works mentality. But we can approach the favor of God by faith because he loves all of us. He wants all of us to succeed and prosper. And when we have his favor upon us, we will be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. And that is his will for each and every one of his believers, so of his children. And so that's what I was sharing with him. Hallelujah.
And it is something, as favor comes, to know that it's something that we can renew our mind to, that we can renew ourselves to. And that does change it. Because, see, then it's not just something that just happens in somebody's life, and some people have it and some people don't. It's something that we can begin to curry. And by that, I mean that we can begin to do things in our life to plant seeds for it. And if you listened to LaRue's testimony last night, one thing that I've always known about LaRue, he walks in a tremendous level of favor. And if you listen to what he said last night about the hours that he spent beginning to just speak over the rejections, not going to be dominate him, but he's going to dominate it, and that he's going to dominate all the other things that are in his life. He began to speak those things into existence, and he called that favor into existence. And that's what I wanted to talk to you and just to share with you a little bit about today, because in my own life, see, I'm in the process of calling that favor into my life. I'm in the process of even realizing, quite frankly, that I needed to, because we each need to. The grace of God can do so many things on our behalf, but we have to call it into our into existence. And with that in mind, I want to just read to you, because these things that come out of the notebook are basically God's notes to me. Sometimes it's correction, sometimes it's edification, sometimes it's exhortation. It's always something that can be learned from. But it's always personal too. Well, not always, but some of this in here is. But I want you guys to be transformed. Because he's not just speaking to me here. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to everyone who will have ears to hear. Everyone who will desire to know who He is. So He says, you are right to seek me out. I have been waiting. The enemy wants to trap you, so be careful what you say. Much of what goes wrong in our life is the result of what we've said. It's the result of the things that we've put in motion. Now is a critical time, but your reputation for love and fairness, be encouraged, for I'm bringing a great deliverance about. Even as you do not expect a manifestation of deliverance you saw in Cali, I will also move on your behalf out of that same atmosphere of holiness. When the last time I went to Cali, which was just a week or two before this, he began to speak this to me, there was tremendous breakthroughs of deliverance with the people. But it wasn't the kind of deliverance where you're coming up and saying, you know, yelling and screaming at the devil and telling him to get out. No, a lot of times it was just, I just walked up to somebody and they began to melt. And they began to feel and they began to change right there, and they began to release. And God manifested the thing right there and it was done. Just in the approach. There was one gentleman that I walked up to and began to pray for. And he screamed, no, and he just left. He just ran out because he wasn't ready. He didn't even know what I was saying. It didn't matter. He knew what God was doing. There was just an atmosphere of holiness about that whole week that was really tremendous. And so he says, be aware of the favor that you walk in, and be aware of my presence with you and around you. This is key, because he's not just talking to me, he's talking to every believer. Because the word tells us that Christ walks in favor with God and man. He grew in favor with God and man. I believe that's Luke 2. That he grew in favor in God and man. And where is Christ? He's in me. He's in you. So because of that, there's a favor that's automatically aware of, available to us, and we just have to become aware. As we become aware of His favor in ourself, because we become aware of the favor and the presence of God within us, that automatically begins to change the atmosphere that's around us. Expect my presence to touch those who contact you. Allow me even greater freedom within you. It's a process. It's something that we allow for. It's something that we release within ourselves. The expectation is something that we can release on our behalf and on our neighbor's behalf. The definitions you have lived under are about to change. I want everybody to look at their neighbor and say, the definitions that you have lived under are about to change. Because see, we've all defined ourselves in a certain way. And we've all had others who defined us in a certain way. And God's beginning to change that even now. Because there's a process of transformation that's happening, and we're not that same person that we were last year, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or even a week ago, if we're pursuing God. So those definitions have to change. The things that we've defined our thoughts by have to change. The things that we've defined who we were in the past have to change so that we can become who we are today and become who we will be tomorrow. Tomorrow is available today if we'll pursue it. The victory that you're supposed to have 2 years from now is available to today if you are willing to pursue it. Change the definitions that you call yourself by. Change the definitions that others call you by. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a reject. I'm no longer insufficient. Because I choose to change that definition. You and others have defined you in a particular way. And those images are about to shatter as increase comes. You have heard and filtered your life and expectation through certain definitions of words and expectancy. Look for these to change as I change you. Add my favor to your expectancy. I want you to tell yourself, self, add favor to expectancy. Now, I'm in. Add grace to your sight. Do not define yourself through the limits of the past. Much of our definition really comes from where we've been. But the whole Bible is full of promises telling us where we're going to go. We have to define ourselves by those things. That's what beginning to cast a vision is. The whole book of the Word is a huge vision for you to attain. It's a huge vision that we can begin to appropriate into our lives, saying that we don't have to be this past, we can be the future. We can step out of where we have been and into something that's greater than anything that we've ever known. We can overcome the circumstance by beginning to appropriate the love, by beginning to appropriate the promise into where we're going. This is where it gets personal. It says, you must stop believing you're inferior to those around, for I've made no defective thing. And that's a word of victory for many. Because we have a tendency to always think of ourselves in terms of less than what we see others that are around us. We see the negatives in our life instead of seeing the positive. And that's what he wants to change, is that view. He wants to start viewing yourself with favor. View yourself with that expectancy and that grace. Basically, and he says here, look to the gifts and callings, and you will know this to be true. Every one of us has gifts and callings within us. Every one of us has potential within us that we know we have not reached yet. We got to look to those gifts. We got to look to those callings and know that God placed those within us for a reason. That there was a hope within His heart. That there was a faith and an expectancy in His heart for you. All we're doing when we come into faith for something like that, all we're really doing is coming into agreement with something that He already prophesied before you were born. He already spoke it before you were born. He already set the expectation and the potential before you even were conceived. And a lot of times we do this because we compare ourselves. We begin to compare ourselves with somebody who's faster than we are, or smarter than we are, or runs quicker than we are, jumps higher than we do, is more spiritual, is more holy, more anointed, whatever it is, whatever our measuring stick is for the moment. He says here, comparison is the trap and deception of the enemy, for he never shows you the whole picture. He never shows you the whole picture. He wants you to compare yourself to somebody else because you're not seeing the very inferiority that they're feeling and they're trying to overcome. You're not seeing the very thing that's driving them to do something that they should never even have done sometimes. If you see the men on the Fortune 500 list, most of those people are insecure. Most of those people don't even know who they are, but they're still trying to please their daddy and trying to make more money and more and have greater success, not because they know who they are, but because they don't. Because they're afraid if they don't, there'll be a failure. If they're afraid that if they don't, they won't measure up. And if we buy into those lies, there are sometimes we can use those things to achieve great things, but we're never happy. We're never satisfied. And there's nothing wrong with success. But success needs to be coupled with understanding who we are and what God has created us to be. It needs to be coupled with an awareness of His power and His authority working through us to touch our life and the lives of those around us. Because as it's coupled to do that, then there can be greatness that comes forth. Not on the behalf of fear, but on behalf of God. Kingdom agendas can really begin to come forth in that kind of an environment. Because we're not threatened by what somebody thinks any longer. We're not threatened by what somebody might do anymore. We're not threatened by the fact that the wealth can disappear. Right now there's a great change in our society that's going on, and people are being threatened because the wealth is disappearing. If that's all that your hope is, it's very temporary. There has to be something more. And it is. It's coming from knowing who you are in God. He wants you to be a success. Don't buy those things that tell you that, you know, you got to be poor to be holy. That's ridiculous. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I don't care who told you that it wasn't. At the same time, We don't go around trying to achieve success by stepping on somebody else and squishing somebody else and doing things that are ungodly and unholy. That's not God's plan. He has a way of preparing you. He has a way to prepare you and to bring you into the place where you're supposed to be by His anointing and by His favor. And the more we're aware of His favor in our life, the more likely that is to get happening, because we're going to begin to expect it and we're going to begin to bring forth opportunities for it to do something for us. And it starts with changing our attitude. I'm not poor, broken, disgusted. I don't want that attitude anymore. I don't want that attitude that says I'm insufficient anymore. I don't want that attitude that looks around and says somebody else has got it better and therefore I could need to be envious. I don't need that anymore. Because whatever I've got, God gave to me. And if He gave it to me, nobody can take it away. I don't care what happens. If somebody comes up and steals all my money and God gave it to me, God's going to replace it. This job right here, somebody wants to take it away from me, God's going to take it and do something else with it. All right? It doesn't matter. Whatever God's put in our life, when we know that God's put it in our life, there is nothing the world can do about it. And I can tell you this, everything else is an illusion. I've owned my own company and I've had all those things and understood that, and I found that it was an empty illusion. The things that people thought would be a success were an empty illusion. Because in less than 2 weeks' time, all of it changed. And I was basically on the street. See, God doesn't put those things in our life like that. He puts things in our life that are a rock. Because now, there's no fear in me about those issues. Then, there was. And I can walk in the security of knowing that He's my provider. That He's the one who's with me and that He's the one who's going to provide for me and take care of me. Because He's been doing a much better job of it than I ever did. He says, thank you for staying with me when many would have run. It speaks well to your development to realize that another cannot hold you back as long as you're willing to press through. I love you and I always will. He always signs off like that. It's part of our little language. There's a place in us where we can begin to make intercession over the situations that are around us because we have found favor. Because we have found favor in God's sight, it gives us the strength to begin to make intercession over those that He's placed over us, over those He's placed around us, those who are in our sphere of influence. And I don't remember, this note comes, we make intercession for them because we have found favor with you. Speaking to the Lord. As Moses interceded over Israel and Joseph over his brothers, Jonah over Nineveh, David over Saul, and Stephen over Paul. See, I've researched each one of those men and I found in the Bible where it specifically says that they found favor in God's sight. And because they found favor in God's sight, something changed. They became the men who changed a generation. We have the opportunity to be the people that will change a generation. I can't tell you when the last day is, but there can't be many. It's time to change a generation. The note says, by grace, persecution has turned into preparation. Can you imagine what it took for Joseph, who was thrown into a pit and sold as a slave by his brothers, unfairly accused and stuck into a prison. And yet this man not only changed a generation, he in effect became the savior of a nation and changed the way business was done. He reached around down inside of himself and pulled out something called grace, something called favor, and began to apply it to his situation, expecting change. And he saw it. He saw a whole nation changed, transformed in a moment. Stephen found favor and laid out his very life as an act of intercession for Paul, who went on to conquer and bring the word of God to the known nations, the known Gentiles of the day. So I want you to be aware of the favor that's in your life. Be aware that by grace, evil is turned to good. As Nineveh turned and repented at the preaching of Jonah, Jonah took that grace, that favor that God had bestowed upon him, and just simply walked through the city and began to tell him of the destruction that was coming. And a whole city repented. A whole city did not die and go to hell because of one man. And this wasn't even a very cooperative man. He didn't want to do it. He had a bad attitude about it. But the favor of God that was on him for that moment transformed in spite of himself. My personal suggestion is, if God begins to move on you, it's a whole lot easier to be willing. Because I know that in my own life, there's been a few times that I wasn't, and God did something anyway. But it always shows you up in the process. And usually it's a lot easier if we're willing. I don't want to miss what God is going to pour out in Houston. I want the favor of God, and I expect the favor of God to begin proclaiming and pulling me into that place. I want it enough that I will be obedient to those things that God is showing me. I'll be obedient to what God has put into my life, because I want that favor that He's working on me and operating in me to operate through me. I want it enough to be transparent before you, so that you too can grow into that place with me. If you'll turn to Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we discussed earlier, that Christ found favor in the sight of God and man, and He did so because He emptied Himself. He stepped out of divinity, the very Godhead, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. He stepped out of the divinity of God and became a man. We cannot even begin to comprehend what a step down that was. But He came from a place of power and strength and became weak of His own volition, of His own choice, to serve us. He emptied Himself of all that was divine and became a man so that He could experience and express and give us an example. Talk about humility. And even in His expression as a man, He found favor everywhere that He went. In His expression as a man, He chose to become a bondservant to the cause that the Father sent. And He could have made another choice. But He took on the same flesh that we have. He took on that same flesh that we have in order that He would suffer through the same things that we suffer through. That He would walk through these things and He would learn from those things and yet be able to proclaim that you too can overcome. Just pinch yourself and realize that you are that flesh, that same flesh that He is. He humbled Himself and became obedient even to the cross. And we're really out here now because I don't know where exactly He's going. But in that expression, of what he did on the cross. There was the obedience that brought him into that place. See, that was the thing that secured favor for you. He did that for you, that you might have favor. Had there been no cross, you might not have had favor. But he found favor for you. He delved into the depths of who he was in order that you could overcome.